Hello, nature lovers. Welcome to the Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy podcast. This is a podcast about wildlife, habitats, and happenings right here in Loudoun County, Virginia, with ideas and activities for you to get outdoors and explore nature. I'm Nicole Hamilton, and this is episode number 6. And I've decided to do this episode outdoors today because it's such a wonderful day out. It's so pretty. It's sunny, it's not too hot, and the birds are singing. We've got crickets, and you might hear some summer cicadas, and you can't hear them, but there are butterflies all over the place today. I'm sitting not too far from a garden, and there's a butterfly bush and some grassy areas that have some wildflowers, and there's just all kinds of butterflies flying about. So I'll try not to get distracted as we do this podcast, but there is that potential. So let's see. First, let's just start off with a little bit of a quiz. So, what species of animal has grayish fur, a pink nose, a rat-like tail, small ears, and a triangular head? Any ideas? Okay, here's some more clues. It also has a pouch for its young, and thumbs on its feet, and it's about the size of a house cat. Could you guess? Okay, it's the opossum. And yes, today the topic of our podcast is going to be opossums. And we actually did a Habitat Herald Archive article on opossums about a year ago, so you can go back to that in our archives and get that article and check it out if you want. And if after this podcast you'd like to test your knowledge of opossums, you can try our opossum crossword puzzle on our website. Just head over to www.loudounwildlife.org, click on Educational Resources in the navigation bar, and then scroll down to Puzzles, and you'll see it in the drop-down list. So about the opossum. This marsupial is one of the longest surviving mammalian species in the world, having been around for about 70 to 80 million years and surviving since the time of the dinosaurs. And today's opossums hardly differ at all from their ancestors that scurried beneath the feet of dinosaurs. Few animals have made it down through the ages to our present day so unchanged as opossums. So that's kind of a neat thing to think about as you know, when you happen to see an opossum. They're also the only native marsupial to North America. Scientists believe that opossums emigrated from South America north up through Panama, and for a long time they lived mainly in the southeast, but eventually spread out, and now are found in the east, the Great Plains, and the west coast. Extreme cold keeps them out of the Rockies, northern New England, and the upper Midwest, but they've been able to expand quite a bit. The name opossum was first used in 1608 by Captain John Smith, who misunderstood the Algonquian name opossum, which means white animal. And the Algonquian name was spelled A-P-A-S-U-M, so close but no cigar. So, but the word opossum actually stuck, and that's what we have now. Another interesting thing is that the first American colonists actually thought that opossums were part fox and part monkey because of, I guess, the shape of their heads and their bodies, but then also the tail. Opossums are a humble, perhaps odd-looking animal, but indeed quite marvelous and really quite exotic when you stop to think about them. At our LWC annual meeting back in 2004, we had a wildlife rehabber, Peggy Kuntz, bring Stanley the opossum to our meeting to meet our guests and give us an opportunity to meet an opossum firsthand and learn about his kind. And it was pretty neat. I'll actually post a picture of Stanley along with this podcast so you can take a look at him. He's a kind little friend, and he really enjoyed eating his vegetables and didn't mind the attention that was fawned upon him as we got to learn about his life cycles and where he came from and all of that. Often people picture an opossum asleep while hanging upside down from a tree by its tail, and I think this is actually rooted in cartoons somehow. Not sure how cartoonists got this, but this is actually a misconception. Opossums don't hang from trees, per se. They do have a prehensile tail, which is capable of grasping and holding objects, yet it's only capable of supporting the opossum's full weight very briefly, so the tail is used more to help the animal balance and cling to trees, as well as carry nesting materials in carrying out its duties. So the opossum also has a thumb-like appendage called a helix on its hind legs, and that's what allows it to grasp branches a lot easier and to engage in its climbing. Opossums prefer deciduous woodland habitats near streams. However, they'll also live in many different habitats that include brush piles, hollow trees, rock piles, road culverts, and also under buildings. To survive in the winter, opossums will seek shelter in dens dug out by burrowing animals like groundhogs. They go down into the den and they'll sleep for days at a time, but when temperatures become moderate during the midwinter, they'll come out to forage for food. Frequently, they'll suffer from frostbite while foraging, and they'll get this frostbite on their skinless ears and on their tails and on their toes. And the tips of their tails may turn black and fall off. So if you see an opossum that has a blunted tail, you can be pretty sure that that opossum has lived through at least one winter, and it's probably an older opossum. Opossums are nocturnal and omnivorous. I hope you can hear all this around me. I'll take a quick pause from the podcast right now, but I think I'm getting jeered at by catbirds and cardinals. So I don't think that they're really enjoying the podcast. But anyway, I'll still continue. So opossums are nocturnal and omnivorous. They have an excellent sense of smell, and this helps them to find food during the night. And they can eat almost anything, including mice, rats, frogs, worms, all sorts of insects. They'll eat crickets, roaches, beetles, grasshoppers, and then they also eat all kinds of vegetation, like grasses. They love overripe fruits and berries, and then they're also opportunistic in that they'll also eat dead animals by the sides of roads. So they are definitely ones that will eat whatever they can find and help clean up the landscape as it is. So opossums have a short lifespan of only 1 to 2 years, making it the mammal with the shortest lifespan relative to its size. And this is kind of interesting to think about. You know, they've come up through the ages, and yet they have such a short lifespan. They also have quite a few predators that we'll talk about. But on the flip side, they also have quite a few babies. So I guess this is part of their strategy for survival. They're pretty slow moving. And, you know, you can watch them going through your yard or the garden, but also along the sides of roads. And they're often run over by cars. And actually, the thing that made me think of today's podcast, having the topic of opossums, is that I saw one that got run over not too far from our house. And, you know, it was very sad to see. And, you know, I always wonder, you know, they're such a slow-moving animal. Can't we just slow down a little bit as we're driving? And either let them pass or be more careful and more observant by the sides of the roads. But anyway, in addition to being hit by cars, opossums are also hunted by owls, foxes, coyotes, and they're killed by dogs and cats. Not to mention people who trap them and often kill them to remove them from their yards and their gardens. In truth, they probably don't do that much to our yards and gardens, so, you know, if you can live in harmony, so to speak, with the opossums, that's definitely the better route, and they do have a lot of benefit to the environment. Upon sexual maturity, a female opossum can have up to 25 babies. However, she usually only bears 7 to 9 at a time. During the time of the first birth, I'm going to explain a really interesting thing about opossums. This thing called the first birth is when it happens about 11 to 13 days after conception, and the babies are as small as navy beans. So they're born, and they climb up from the mother's underside and into her pouch. And that's where they'll find a teat on which to nurse. The nursing space within her pouch is limited to only 13 young. And during the journey up into her pouch, this is when a number of babies will die. So it's sort of, I guess, part of the survival of the fittest kind of thing. The natural selection, perhaps, I don't know. To aid the babies, as they move up into the pouch, the mother will lick her fur to create a moist path for them to follow. And if they survive this migration to the pouch, they'll nurse for 2 to 3 months within the pouch and then emerge from the pouch. And this is sort of like that second birth, I suppose, or second emergence. And they'll ride on the mother's back and on her tail for 4 to 6 weeks while she forages for food. An important point here for the true nature lover is that in the spring and summer, when you see an opossum that's just been killed by the road, you can stop the car and go and see if it's a female. And if it is, you can reach inside her pouch and you might be able to rescue the babies. Sometimes the babies are even wandering right near her if she's been dead for a little while. If you do find babies either in the pouch or by the road, call the Wildlife Rescue League, and they can put you in touch with a local rehabber who will raise and then release the baby opossums. So, again, I say it's for the true nature lover because, you know, it might take some courage to reach into the pouch of a dead opossum, but could be saving some little opossum lives. So that's just a little bit there. Opossums have protective behaviors. Sometimes opossums will run around and bare their sharp teeth. They have about 50 teeth. So this is when they're threatened. They'll growl, they'll belch, they'll drool, they'll urinate, and they'll do really whatever they can to try to scare away predators or make the predators believe that they're sick and injured and things like that. Typically, predators don't want to eat dead animals. So I'll get to that in a second. So when the opossum can't scare away its enemy or climb a tree to get away or somehow evade it, the opossum might play dead. And this behavior entails rolling over, drooling, becoming stiff, breathing very slowly and in a very shallow coma-like state. It could also involve slobbering and excreting a green, foul-smelling liquid. This may be the key to why opossums have been able to survive for so many millions of years. I haven't experienced any of this myself. The opossum that we had living in our yard for a while was just a friendly opossum that would kind of waddle through our yard and, you know, go on its pathway. I think it had a typical path that it would go and forage along. So I never experienced the growling or the drooling or the foul secretion, thank goodness. But if it's threatened, you know, and you see all this, don't be alarmed. It's just trying to scare you away. So opossums can stay in the coma-like state for a minute or two or up to several hours. So if you think you have a dead opossum in your yard, it's best to leave it alone for at least 4 hours before you try to remove it. When you check back in 4 hours, it might be gone. So then you will know that you had an opossum that was just plain dead. So on occasion, you might have the opportunity to see opportunities around your home. Usually these are just wandering through and they'll only stop temporarily. They may surprise you if they wander up into your garage looking for food or decide to hang out under your porch looking for shelter or a place to rest. But if you do have an opossum close to your home and it's unsettling, there are certainly things that you can do. If an opossum wanders into your garage, it will most likely also wander out. So you can either encourage it by making a trail of food leading out or just wait. And then once you're sure the opossum's left, you can just shut the door. If an opossum has decided to make a den or something under your porch or your house, and you're not comfortable with this, then you'll want to seal up any entry points. To do this, first you'll want to find out where the opossum is entering, and you can do this by sprinkling flour around the perimeter of your porch And scrunching up newspaper that you also put around the perimeter. And then you can check for tracks in the flower and movement of the newspaper to identify the entry and exit points. A little bit of sleuthing activity there. Once the opossum has headed out on its nightly foray for food, which would be like several hours after dark, you can loosely close the opening with netting, straw, or some fibrous material that an animal trapped inside could push away to get out, but one that's outside is much less likely to disturb in some sort of attempt to get back in. So, that's one approach there. And then once you're sure that there are no longer any animals under your porch, you can seal up the entry points with hardware cloth or some other sort of permanent solution. So occasionally opossums will find their way into your home through a pet door or something like that. To encourage the animal to leave, you can close the doors provide access to other parts of the house. And then open the doors through which the opossum can leave and wait quietly. So like if it's in your basement or somewhere like that, just close the doors that would access the rest of the house and open whatever ones will let it kind of get its bearings and then go out on its own. If necessary, you could also guide the opossum out using a broom to gently and slowly nudge it towards the open door. So those are some ideas. With opossums in your yard, opossums rarely have rabies, and they actually help to clean up your yard since they eat certain insects and things that we might not prefer to have around, like cockroaches and rats and snakes and spiders, and they also eat snails and slugs, dead fruit from trees. So opossums will likely be moving on in short order and not be of concern, so you could just let them do their thing and then they'll be on their way. So I guess the main thing is just give the opossums a chance and you might actually enjoy the benefits that they have to offer you. And probably most of you listening to this already are opossum fans. But after all, they help control pests and are really like little living time capsules that date back 70 million years, which is pretty neat. You can find out more about opossums from the Opossum Society. Yes, indeed, there is an Opossum Society, and they do have a website. It's www.opossum.org. So that's a neat source of information on other facts and information about opossums. So now for an update on our programs and activities. This coming Tuesday, August 19th, from 8 to 10, we have a bird walk at the Dulles Wetlands. And then on Saturday, we have, starting at 8 o'clock, we have our monthly bird walk at the Blue Ridge Center for Environmental Stewardship. Key thing on the Dulles Wetlands walk is that participation is limited to 12 people for that walk because we try to make sure that we don't have too much of a human impact on the wetlands. So please sign up on our website at www.loudandwildlife.org and you can sign up there. And I guess that about wraps it up for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed learning about opossums and the interesting things that they do, and hearing the nature and the wildlife all around me right now. I hear the cicadas have started up and a green frog just called, so that's kind of cool. So I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll tune in again next week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you along the trails.